Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is up and running for episode 181. We apologize for our missed week last week, but only sort of, because we enjoyed our week off. I did, anyway. I hope you did.
Yeah, I apologize for nothing. I live my life. I do what I want.
We mostly have a weekly podcast that we hope that you mostly listen to. If you would like to contribute to said podcast by being on it or just contributing to it as a sponsor, hashtag Reptilian Overlords, we'd love it. It'd be great. Just let us know. Tweet at us, Facebook. Go to the notathingpodcast.com website and talk to our HAL 900, and we'll get you squared away, and we'll hopefully have you on the air. It'd be fun. We haven't had a guest in a little while. I should push a little harder. Although we've also not been recording at a very kind of regular way.
This is one of our earlier recording times, actually.
Yeah. Not that anyone would notice, because maybe they listen whenever they listen. Who knows when they listen.
I wonder if it'll sound different. Be less tired or drunk.
it's possible. It's possible. It is also a really, really sunny day in California. I know everyone else in all of the other states is probably just sighing right now, because of course it's a sunny day in California. But
what we do.
It's you know, the first week of April, and it's like already, it's almost 90 degrees here in San Jose. It's nuts.
A weather podcast, so yeah. We're gonna go on from that.
Meteorology is a thing. A thing is all of the stuff we're gonna talk about. So let's jump in. There's a big thing that's been in the news recently. I hope you've heard about it, or you're probably gonna hear about it, because we're gonna tell you about it right now. And that is what's being colloquially known as the Panama Papers, harkening back to the Pentagon Papers. I'm sure no one listening has heard of that, but it's that referred to a bunch of stuff that was uncovered about how the U.S. was involved a lot in Vietnamese politics before entering formally into the Vietnam War. But this is not having to do with any war in Panama, at least as far as I know, not yet, but it does involve a lot of heads of state doing a lot of things fairly unethically. It seems that there was a law firm in Panama that offered a service, and that service was creating company records and being the kind of holder of those company records. So what a lot of people were doing was creating a company that resided in Panama, so that they could operate it as a tax haven, essentially, as a tax shelter. If you made a bunch of money, normally you're taxed on profits or income. What they would do, or rather businesses are generally taxed on profit rather than income, like straight income. So if you invest your company's profits elsewhere, it doesn't count against you tax-wise. So what these people were doing was they were investing in quotes, and I have to do air quotes, not in the air on a audio medium, I guess.
Insert quotes here.
But they were investing in a company that they owned that was essentially based in Panama. And this company held it together, and thus their balance sheet would end up as a low, very low profit. And so their tax burden would be low. And then they would slowly use that secondary company to buy them, you know, yachts or vacations or whatever. And that becomes a business expense for that company, thus reducing its tax burden. So it's essentially a shell game. That's why they're called shell companies, I think, for a lot of folks. And The reason this is coming to light was not because someone, decided to publish the data, that they were like, oh, well, it didn't end up on a balance sheet somewhere. Well, I guess it did end up on this law company's balance sheet, but someone potentially in that law company sent this to a whistleblower website, and it was over 2.5 terabytes of data, the way I remember reading it, which is a whole lot of data. So it's a pretty extensive, it's been a pretty extensive, chunk of data. And apparently the folks that had found it, or at least got it initially, had been cranking on it and putting, making connections and finding stuff out. And so they recently released all of that data to news agencies and published a book about it that I think is available today now. So it's they wanted to maximize the impact of the information out there. And it's pretty staggering how many heads of state are implicated. Multiple folks from the Middle East, Vladimir Putin, the father of the British Prime Minister, a bunch of sports personalities, many FIFA employees, and as if we weren't surprised, there wasn't a lot of corruption there already, some like entertainment personalities, actors, Tina Turner and Jackie Chan kind of jumped out in the list. It's really staggering, and it seems like it's still not completely pulled out about all the data and all the dealings. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they were doing anything illegal. They were just happened to be clients of this law firm, which was doing a bunch of stuff illegally. So it's possible that they were related. But a bunch of stuff jumps out at me, one of which is just how many people were using the same law firm. I feel like if you were smart enough to generate a shell company in another country, you probably could have created a shell law firm as well. So I suspect there will be further law agencies that are lawyers' offices that are contacted to to have transparency reporting or something as a result of this, because clearly there's a lot of people and a lot of people and a lot of money that's been run through there. I don't know if there was ever a stat on the actual thing, but I think the amount of, I don't know if this is the amount of tax that was evaded or the amount of money that was invested, but it was like trillion with a T, which is crazy. It's so much money. But another interesting thing that you noticed was that there are not a lot of American names in the list of folks that are implicated, and I'm wondering if that's because it's, again, this is just one law agency's kind of list. Maybe the Americans used the other law agency in Panama or something.
It's probably because we don't do it in Panama. We can do it in the Virgin Islands.
Right. There's probably a different tax evasion method that can be used. I mean, I know, what was it? We talked about it in an insert episode here about Burger King moving or essentially like selling themselves to the Canadian company.
Right.
In order to move their tax, their headquarters out of the United States to escape the taxation that way. I just feel like, tax evasion is such a, I feel like it's, I don't want to say.
It's an American pastime.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's a common thing, but you're right. I think it's probably, there are not a lot of American names because it's just not the company that the Americans used. So I'm sure more data will come out of this. I don't know if more kind of action will come out of it in terms of what's going to happen. I mean, what, like, if you're a head of state, what is Russia going to do? Is Putin going to repudiate himself? Or...
No.
No, right. So that's what I don't know exactly what the repercussion is from that. I mean, I guess I know that in Iceland, though, the prime minister of Iceland was implicated, and he, amid protests of up to, I think it was, I had read it was like 10% of Iceland's population came out to protest yesterday, and the prime minister stepped down today. So so it there is some action that can be happening, but I know it seems like a lot of folks are kind of denying involvement or denying involvement in the tax evasion aspect of it. It's just like, sure, we have a law agency in Panama. Who doesn't? So more to come on this one. Tax evasion is apparently a thing. So there's that, but you know, keep looking for more information about that. It does seem to be a pretty pretty far-reaching set of scandal, and there's so much money involved. I can't imagine that this doesn't have further repercussions. So keep tuned to that one. We're gonna keep international on our things and not things and move over to China. And this one doesn't have anything to do with money, but it does have stuff to do with 3D printing, which is a favorite topic of ours on the Not a Thing podcast. And specifically, this is 3D printing at a funeral home. So this Chinese funeral home is now offering 3D printing in order to make corpses appear more, I don't know, more or rather less damaged. So if your loved one's body was harmed in such a way that it obscures their face, generally funeral homes have some ability to do stuff with makeup or things like that. But in more extreme cases, it can be harder to do that, and there's less things you can do. So this funeral home is offering a 3D printing service. Well, they can 3D print like skin or noses or parts of faces, and then touch them up later with makeup, so the person appears whole for the funeral. And this is amazingly creepy, but I think it's actually a good use of 3D printing. I think it's
a waste of everything.
No, I think for a funeral, especially of a family member, you have some. I mean, the alternatives to have a closed casket or
yeah, I was gonna say you could spend the $700 or whatever to get a fake nose put on the person who lost their nose when they died, or you could spend $0 or whatever money you want to spend, and just close the casket.
Do you think this is a funeral kind of racketeering thing?
Totally. It's preying on grieving people.
That's true. That's true. There is the potential for kind of inflation on that. I do think if you wanted to have it, it's a service that I think is unprecedented, but also probably not unwelcome for some folks that did want like an open casket funeral. It is a little
it seems creepy.
It is a little creepy. Yeah. Also, I think you are right. I think there is potentially some element of gouging the family members and grieving folks on, you know, upselling for different different packages, essentially.
Are they gonna start with cremation? Like, if you lost body parts and they don't have them to cremate, they're gonna, I don't know, smoke some cigars and increase your ash count or something? I don't know.
Would they? I guess they would have to remove those at cremation time, because otherwise you would get, you know, some weird horrible plastic, burning plastic action. I guess it's China. It's already going to be pretty messed up in the air there.
China loves burning stuff.
Well, it's
worse air quality.
Well, if it's a 3D printing story we haven't covered before, let's just put it that way.
we're running out of those.
at least until someone decides to donate a 3D printer to the Not a Thing podcast. We will take donations of gifts in kind. You don't have to give us cash necessarily. Although cash would help for expenses of running a free podcast. Yes.
we could be doing this podcast 20 years from now and be reporting on the first 3D printed usable human penis.
You heard it here first on the Not a Thing podcast. moving back from international waters to the United States, we're gonna take a stop at the TSA, as most people do when flying. And the TSA had a program a little while ago when they were first turning on their TSA PreCheck system, which I forget how much it is. I want to say it's like $150 a quarter. It might be a little less than that. You can give them a bunch of data and they'll do whatever background check information you need, and they will put you in the TSA pre-check-in line. So you can skip a lot of the stuff that, normal folks have to do, like stand in the X-ray and take off your shoes. And it essentially makes it so you go through a security equivalent that's kind of, I guess it's like pre-9/11. So you leave your shoes on, you walk through a metal detector, you don't have to do the, remove everything from your pockets and hands up, X-ray.
You're paying for your dignity.
Yes, yes. So when they
Which then you paid for it, which means you've then lost it once again.
Right, right. But when they were beginning this, they had a thing at the airport where they would randomly sort you to go to the TSA pre-line as a way to kind of create buzz and get you into that. And the way they did this was, and I've experienced this a few times, was that they had a TSA agent at the break in the line where you have to be either pre-checked or not. And it would have they had an iPad with, and they would tap it, and it would show an arrow that pointed left or right, depending on which direction the TSA pre-line would be. So you'd be directed into the TSA pre-line. And they said that it wasn't a random thing, that it was somehow based on people coming in or whatever. So recently, some folks did a Freedom of Information Act request to find out more about the TSA app that was being used, because it was on an iPad. So they wanted to know more about the details about it and how it worked, et cetera, et cetera. Turns out that the TSA spent upwards of, I think it was like a $1.5 million on the system itself. And that $1.5 million may have included like the devices themselves. So if you subtract all of that out, which these folks did, it makes the app be a $47,000 app that they contracted with, it looks like IBM, to help create. The crazy part about it, if you haven't guessed already, is that it was just a random thing. It was just a coin flip app that would point left or right whenever they activated it. And I don't know about you, but if you're spending $47,000 for a thing to make an arrow that points left or right randomly, there's something going wrong.
Like, you can just pay someone to stand there and flip a coin.
Right. Like, I am not a great programmer, but I'm pretty sure I could write that app. Like, there are only two cases, and it's a random number generator, and it chooses left or right. Or, exactly as you said, if you wanted to, flip a coin and then it would say left or right. You would save so much money, and it would be almost kind of more fun to have them flip a coin, because you would truly see how ridiculous it is to work at the TSA.
Which is really, that's what the whole TSA is anyway. So it's right. A coin flip.
Right, right. Actually, I think it was a lot worse than a coin flip when they did the penetration test thing the last time. It was something like 90% of the contraband got through, or some very high number, which I know we talked about in insert episode here. But yes, it's yet another, why are we spending money on the TSA if they're going to spend our money this way kind of thing. So TSA apps, not a thing. You too can program a coin flip for $47,000 if your client is the TSA. So there's your get rich quick scheme. Maybe we should do that, actually. Maybe I should write an app. I have a little downtime. We'll see. We'll see. Well, we're gonna stay in the States and go sort of to three states simultaneously. We're gonna go to North Carolina, Georgia, and now Mississippi, and we're going in that order because today Mississippi, the governor signed into law a law which more than likely will end up being unconstitutional and will unfortunately have to go all the way to the Supreme Court, probably, which is currently still messed up because the Republican senators failed to have a hearing on the nominee. Hashtag do your job. The law that was passed and then quickly signed into law by the bill that was passed and then quickly signed into law by the governor of Mississippi is to protect folks with a sincerely held belief that that they can refuse services, retail services and whatever to folks given a sincerely held religious belief. And this is yet another in a trend of laws that are being passed around the country that are aimed at quote unquote protecting religious freedoms, and one of which is the freedom to discriminate against whoever the hell they want to. Generally, in this case, it's gays and lesbians and people of different sexual orientations, and it's appalling and really not a thing that that these laws can even be passed, but they are. There was one that was passed it passed the state legislature in Georgia, but the governor there didn't sign it, mostly due to commercial pressure, and that's what's happening currently in North Carolina, and will probably happen in Mississippi, although my wife pointed out that she did a little looking, and Mississippi has the worst state economy in the U.S. And so maybe this law was passed for the folks that have a sincerely held belief in keeping the state in the worst economy bracket wise in the United States. But what a lot of kind of major companies are doing, including Disney, in the case of Georgia, they're putting pressure on the state government by saying, if you pass this law and continue to enact it and pretend that, you know, the world revolves around you, essentially, we'll pull our production and money and any investment from your state and deprive you of all of your tax revenue. And I believe that worked in Georgia to a strong degree, and hopefully will work in North Carolina and then in Mississippi. But it's really just amazing to me that these laws are the equivalent of people putting their fingers in their ears and yelling very loudly. It's just amazing. I don't even know what to say.
Well, you can't spell Mississippi without ISIS. Coincidence? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing, right? Yeah, yeah. We'll go with that.
I'm pretty sure I can safely say Mississippi, not a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's really unfortunate that the law even passed, and then B, even more unfortunate that it will probably take a while to get removed from the books. But it's another in a trend of laws that are going around the country claiming religious freedom. And I think that's such a bullshit excuse, mostly because it's not religious freedom. It's kind of these like weird Christian sort of aligned freedoms. And it's not even like a very Christian thing. It's like a cherry picked Christian thing, because you're not talking about all the other.
Is there another kind of Christian thing? Is that the deal with Christianity? Is everything's kind of cherry picked? That's why there's so many different versions.
Yeah, that's very likely. And it really is just a bad situation, and so behind the times, so amazingly unacknowledging of what is really happening in the world, and is really not a thing. The Not a Thing podcast, I think, can stand soundly on that one. So we're gonna stay in the States and stay in the Not a Thing category, unfortunately.
Stay in the States.
But what state is this happening in? This is a
Oklahoma.
It is Oklahoma. Okay, so in Oklahoma, there's a guy that is a self-labeled video vigilante, and he runs around with a video camera, and now lately a video camera attached to a drone, and films illegal things and then posts them on the internet to A, shame the person, and B, ideally essentially turn that person in to or report that person to law enforcement for whatever. And it seems like his primary target for these are prostitutes and johns. The story that I found this on was about he had used a drone to watch a sex worker pick up a guy, or I don't know if it was the other way around, but he filmed it from the drone, from, you know, above, I guess, and then turned that in, and eventually the I believe it was just the sex worker that was prosecuted by the state kind of after that. And there's so much wrong with this, but
all of the things.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, filming someone without their permission, whether they're doing something illegal or not, should be illegal. I don't know why he's not being implicated at all, other than maybe Oklahoma has really bullshit laws about things, which is possible.
Well, because I think it partially has to do with it being on public property.
Oh, interesting. So they're saying that people don't have a right to privacy because it's on public property?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not saying he's right. This guy just looks creepy.
Well, so
I can't convey on an audio medium like this how creepy this guy looks and how distasteful. He has a website. It's horrible. Yeah. It is everything wrong with today.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Right. Being a vigilante, I mean, I don't know why that is.
He is no Batman.
It's certainly not at that level at all. And also using drones for this, I mean, it's bad, right? You're using drones for evil things. How would you ever think that would happen?
There's no pervy snitch man.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
It would be a DC character if that was his name. Because DC characters are always, it's very clearly named heroes and villains. It's like Batman, he's named after a bat. Superman, he's super. Red Tornado, he turns into a red tornado. It's very clear. No, I think Marvel, you have a little bit more kind of flair about your name, Captain America, that kind of thing. But yeah, Pervy Snitch Man, not a thing.
Or Mr. Lonely. Too much time on his hands, man.
Yeah, that would be the Marvel name, right? but yeah, clearly using the technology in a way that I think is a gray area. Already, and then also, a law or related to the laws in Oklahoma, but I feel like prosecuting the sex worker and not the John is also kind of a failing of the system. I mean, I think prosecuting the sex worker actually is not a thing, but that's just my understanding of sex work in general and the archaic laws about that. But I think the way that the system breaks down and the way that this guy is kind of operating, I feel there's no regulation about it. And it sets
exploited it. Like, he has a website where he's generating revenue.
Right.
Showing exploiting other people who are already being exploited potentially.
Yeah.
It's all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a thing. Not a thing. Well, we're
way to go, Oklahoma. Native son.
Well, we're gonna stay in Oklahoma, and then in expand it to include Texas in this story. And this is a story from the US Geological Survey. Which compiles stats about all sorts of things, but I know them mostly because that's the site I go to whenever I start to feel an earthquake. It's not always directly to Facebook to say, "Hey, I felt an earthquake," because I don't need to do that. I live in California. We feel earthquakes. That's a thing. But I do like to go to the USGS website to see, like, you know, information about the earthquakes, and then also generally to it's a pretty cool site if you are kind of a stats and kind of visualization geek like me, because they have a lot of that for earthquake data and then also geological data. But one of the things they released was a note about, or some stats about, the likelihood of earthquakes, specifically in Texas and Oklahoma, and how that number has gone up significantly to the point where it's more likely to feel an earthquake in Texas and Oklahoma than it is in California, which is crazy. And the reason for this is not because there are all of a sudden, you know, more mid tectonic plate earthquakes happening, or because there's a new tectonic plate happening in Oklahoma and Texas, but because they're tying it to fracking. And if I don't know if is fracking enough of a thing that people understand it? Do we have to explain what fracking is?
We don't need to explain what fracking is.
The short form about fracking is you drill up into the ground and pump a bunch of, like, water into that hole, and then you separate out it forces out the oil that you in theory want, but it generates a whole mess more of water and or wastewater and essentially polluted water, which is then pumped right back into the ground to get more oil out. And a lot of there's a lot of science showing that it creates kind of smaller earthquakes in the area and potentially bigger earthquakes. It's known that it will create kind of small earthquakes, you know, under 3 on the Richter scale, but there have also been earthquakes above 5 on the Richter scale, which I will remind the listeners is a logarithmic scale. So 3 to 4 is a tenfold increase in power, and 4 to 5 is another 10. So that's 100 times more powerful than like a 3. At 5, That's a significant enough earthquake that that I get out of bed. I don't get out of bed for anything more than a 4.
Or less than.
Less than a 4, rather. Less than a 4. But,
you really should get out of bed for more than a 4.
More than a 4, right. But that's because in California, we have building codes that were made because there are earthquakes around here. In Texas and Oklahoma, it's not historically a place where you have 5.0 earthquakes and bigger. So a lot of the buildings are probably not ready for that. And all of a sudden, huge, as Texas loves to say, how big their state is, how huge tracts of land that all of a sudden are now earthquake prone, and lots of people that are now in earthquake prone areas. So really, really dangerous situation. I doubt anyone is actually thinking about it or working on it to fix that. I think
No, the USGS said in their statement, they said something to the effect of, we can only tell you what's happening. We have no regulatory power. Someone else needs to do something about this.
Right, right.
I mean, we deal with earthquakes here in California. In the Midwest and in Texas, like, they have tornadoes, and they get scared by earthquakes. Now, congratulations, you have tornadoes and earthquakes. Way to go.
They just need, like, volcanoes too, and then they have kind of you have the next year's action movie, I'm sure, next year's summer movie.
I don't think man-made volcanoes is a thing.
I really hope
man-made not. Earthquakes apparently a thing.
Right.
I don't think you're gonna get volcanoes.
Man-made volcanoes would be terrifying.
other than ones that run on baking soda and vinegar.
Or the ones that are just onions, very carefully sliced and stacked, and then poured oil into them.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
Well, speaking of hungry, we're going to go and talk about nutrition facts.
Do you think that when they were coming up with the language for Battlestar Galactica, when they came up with frack as a replacement for fuck, did they have fracking in mind?
Did they know about fracking? I don't think so. I don't think it was, because it wasn't really called fracking at the time until a bit later. And I feel like fracking actually stands for something. Like,
it was hydraulic fracturing.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know if that was a thing. That would be interesting to look up. We should ping our contacts over at Battlestar Galactica.
No, you can't ping them. They don't use networks, Alan.
Right, exactly. That's how they get away from the Cylons. Everyone knows this. But moving on to we were talking about being hungry and nutritional facts. The FCC has done something I think interesting and novel. I hope it works out. They are advising ISPs to create broadband information labels, and their examples of this look very suspiciously like nutrition facts labels that they put on, that are regulated to put on food. Now, it's not a binding thing because, unfortunately, the FCC has almost no power to force ISPs to do anything, which is part of the problem. But the FCC came up with a template for labeling of goods and services that an ISP can create. So it shows in a table form that looks just like nutritional information, stuff like rated internet speeds up and down, kind of expected speeds based on averages, time for response time for support and service level agreements, and generally stuff like that, and pricing, and having it in a form that ideally would be standard, and you could click on it and look at it and then compare it to another ISP. I think it's great. I think it's a thing in that it's a nice idea that you could use for that. It has a really great heart, but again, the FCC unfortunately can't force companies to do this. And even if they could, I'm pretty sure because it's a voluntary thing to create it, I'm pretty sure they would find a way to cheat it so they could make themselves look better than other ISPs. So, but it's, I think it's a, I mean, at least informationally, it's a nice idea. what stat would you want to look for on a broadband label like that? I think, speed is important, but I think actually, response time would be a nice one.
I want to know the jitter.
Interesting. That's a stat that most people don't, I think, pull, but I think, that would play a lot into, how streaming is, because that would show the, essentially how stable that connection is. And as streaming becomes more and more and more like kind of commonplace, that does make a lot of sense because bandwidth, is almost in almost all cases now seems to be fine unless you're still on like DSL, like, you know, and like ADSL and your wiring is terrible. But I think you're right. I think jitter is a good one. Good point. Jitter's a thing.
I only say that because I know there's somebody out there who that's the thing they're going to have to worry about. People give a shit about everything when it comes to the internet. They're saying, oh, no one could possibly care about that. No, that is the most important thing to somebody. That is the rule of the internet.
It used to be ping times. I mean, I remember I remember very fondly in my Quake Arena days, LPBs and HPBs, low ping bastards and high ping bastards, because it's worse. It's bad both ways, right? If you're a low ping bastard, then you're running around faster than everybody and can see everybody before they see you. And if you're a high ping bastard, you're like, the server is catching you up, so you like would teleport from place to place and be unshootable in all these games. It's these are things that don't happen anymore, right? They're all fine. Nope. The internet is still not evenly applied across the USA. Anyway, hopefully that gets pulled together. The nutritional facts style labeling might help. Actually, giving more regulatory power to the FCC and putting some people in that understand how the internet works would be really great. Actually. What a concept, having lawmakers who understand the things that they're making laws about. Who would ever think that would be a great idea?
Dreaming, never give up on your dreams, Alan. Right. Never give up on your dreams.
Well, with that, we're putting to bed episode 181. We thank all the listeners again for tuning into the Nothing podcast. If you would like to tweet about us or share our posts on Facebook, it would be great. We love all that attention. We also love if you'd like to be on the show or would like to donate to the show, 3D printer or not, that's fine. But otherwise, I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Al.